What is the reason for Jewish survival? What is the reason for Jewish continuity? Have you given us any reason for a Jewish present and a Jewish future? All you've given us are the pieces of the Jewish past. A research organization ultimately did not address the problem of contemporary society. Jews who are looking for a message why they should remain Jews in this universal world could not find it in the words of Wolff or his contemporaries. And indeed, all the original members of the organization, with the exception of lonely, poor Leopold Zuntz, eventually convert to Christianity with little hope in achieving their goals. So Wolff and Gantz, and of course Heine, and all the rest become disillusioned with their world of scholarship and their efforts to change the Jewish present, and ultimately find that they can get university appointments and enter the Christian social and cultural world more successfully as Christians. With little support from the Jewish community, who had little appreciation of elitist scholarship, the idealistic dreams of these scholars was never realized. But let me not bury them in the few minutes we have remaining for this lecture. There is a larger legacy of the Verein, and that, of course, is the foundation of modern secular Jewish studies in the university and beyond. Consider this impact. What I'm speaking about, my dear friends, are my own professional ancestors. Indeed, the reason why I can teach history at the University of Pennsylvania is because of the efforts of Edward Gantz and Emanuel Wolff and Leopold Zuntz. And therefore, they have a certain fondness in my own heart. But beyond that, in the 19th century, very few university appointments could be held by Jews, almost none. Indeed, you had to be converted, as the case of most people who went into the Verein. People like Zuntz or Gratz or others simply could not hold university positions. And for the most part, this was the case within Western universities right up through the 19th and early parts of the 20th century. There was a professor of Jewish studies at Harvard named Harry Wolfson. There was a professor of Jewish studies at Columbia named Salo W. Barone. But indeed, until the 1960s, that is only about 40 years ago, does one chart the revolution of secular Jewish learning, in other words, the legacy of the Wissenschaft des Judentum, into an American context, and previously into an Israeli context, and eventually into a European context as well. In the last 40 years, there has been a revolution in Jewish studies, where almost every major university in this country has programs in Jewish studies. In Israel, of course, part of the Zionist endeavor was to create centers of Jewish studies in each of its universities. And now in Europe, among every major center of university, there are Jewish studies programs. Many of them positions held by non-Jews, and some of them held by Jews. Clearly, if one looks at that larger legacy, the legacy of the secular study, the academic study of Judaism within the context of the university, of taking that specific Jewish knowledge and integrating it into the larger fabric of Western civilization and world civilization, it is a remarkable legacy indeed. If Zuntz and his contemporaries could have imagined what would take place over 100 years after their death, they would have turned over in their grave, so to speak. Clearly, therefore, what we are speaking about is the notion of a secular historical research that indeed came out of these initial probings by this very naive and limited group of intellectuals. Jewish historians, therefore, and I mean not Jews, but I mean historians who study the Jewish experience, continue to imbibe these so-called scientific ideals of this original organizations. Others continue to use scholarship also for apologetic and ideological purposes. And indeed, we will see this quite clearly in our next lectures. There will be those who will criticize Christianity in the name of scholarship and argue for the interests of this suppressed Jewish minority. And there will be those who will enter the larger field of history and continue to argue that Jews have a place within this historical world, and indeed a traditional Jewish lifestyle is something that is important to preserve as well using the tools of history. I refer in both cases to Heinrich Gratz, who I've mentioned several times, and Abraham Geiger. And coincidentally, they will be the subjects of our next two lectures.